Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. Episode 13? 12?
No.
11?
14?
15?
15?
16?
If we just keep counting up, eventually we'll get the right number.
I went to elementary school. As I figure this out, 15.
Episode 15. You really undercut us.
Yeah.
You went to 12 right away.
Yeah, I don't know
13
why.
Right away.
I'm your host, SBJ.
I'm your co-host, Micah.
You're undercutting your own name over there.
The Brave. No, it's just Micah in real life.
We're going to do like a recap show because I think there's been probably some stuff we missed from TGS. It's been like, what, 2 weeks now since TGS? Maybe even more, 3 weeks? I can't remember. It's all a blur to me.
We had a lot of hopping around TGS info. There's definitely probably something we missed.
We'll probably continue to miss stuff.
Yeah. In classic Carve fashion.
I got a really good recap off Reddit that we're going to tackle here. And then the other thing that we're going to do this episode is I pulled a couple questions from our Discord. Just Monster Hunter general questions. Most are Monster Hunter. Actually, I think they're all Monster Hunter.
They're Monster Hunter in at least nature.
Monster Hunter intent questions that we'll tackle. We might not get to all of them depending on how long the show runs, but that's pretty much the gist of it. If you're just joining us, if this is your first time listening, welcome. This is a welcome to
welcome to the Carve Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did I do that right?
It was okay. Good that I was that I tricked everyone and I copied your voice exactly, and yeah. I did it again.
That was pretty impressive.
Just in your voice.
I'm impressed how well you can imitate me.
If you're into, I will say though, if you're a new listener, welcome. If you're into like very high end G level optimal armor sets at the end of G rank that you've only been playing Monster Hunter for 12 hours and you're already there, we're not the guys to tackle that kind of information.
I mean, you might enjoy us anyways, but don't expect pro talk.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet, at least. Maybe World will be pros.
I mean, we're both playing through Double Cross.
Yeah.
Still.
At a snail's pace.
I will take this moment to pimp the fact that we've been streaming Double Cross every Thursday night. And right. So if on Twitch, twitch.tv/PKMNCAST.
Which stands for Pro...
Pro Kodachi...
Kodachi...
Man...
Pro Kodachi... Monster...
Monster is better than man. monster... noobs...
Yeah.
Casually attacking... Colossal...
No, that's... There's an S there, not a C.
seductive... Trappings of monsters.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what PKMNCAST stands for.
Not for a Pokemon podcast run by somebody that's not you.
Yeah, nothing related to that. We've been doing that every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central Time on Twitch. If you're listening to this on the day of release, which would be the October 12th, we'll probably be doing a little bit of a longer stream instead of the normal 2 hours that we do. But I think we're both one hunt away from high rank at this point.
Because
you go through four, you do all your key quests, you unlock the urgent quest, and then that takes you into high rank.
Yeah.
And high rank's...
I don't remember where I'm at. I can't remember what I'm missing.
I don't think you played last week. You just hung out in chat
the
whole time.
Yeah, I was very, very tired last week.
Too much hunting.
Too much...
real life.
Yeah, real life hunting. Too much just traveling. It was an exhausting couple of weeks.
Let's dive into things. I want to give credit where credit is due. This post is by TLGTW. That is really their username. It's just a bunch of capital letters with hyphens. So props to Reddit user TLGTW for putting together this post. It's pretty much a recap of TGS now that everything is said and done. It's also people's impressions and YouTube videos and where they can find them, if it's related to the first day, the second day, the third day, or if it's related to this monster, that monster. And there's a bunch of stuff here.
Very comprehensive TGS guide.
It is. We'll start off. We're going to skip over the story stuff. Like I think we've discussed, we're not really going to focus on overanalyzing or tackling the Monster Hunter World story. I think that's something we want that to feel fresh when we go in come January. But what we will start off with is Astera. Did I say it right this time?
You did.
Astera details here.
Oh, proud.
We missed a couple things when we initially talked about Astera. The first thing, which I think is pretty big, and I know a lot of people were very excited about this, is there is a new training area, training grounds, training zone.
Yeah.
Where you can, test out some weapons.
Without having to fake hunt a Great Macau or, whatever.
Real hunt a Great Macau.
Or real hunt.
Quickly want to, test out the weapon.
Yeah. I assume, I think that a lot of people like Gaijin Hunter and Eric's and other YouTubers that I've watched that show off gear, show off weapons, and show off how, certain styles work or something, which doesn't matter for World, but I think that's probably going to come in handy for those people, because then they can just do that without having to, they can do it at the training grounds and get, I believe you get damage numbers and stuff
you do.
In there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And not have to do that in an actual hunt and worry about time limits and
right.
taking damage. And
I will read what the Reddit post here says. The training ground lets you switch weapons on the fly and hit things like barrels, dummies, grapple around, and even practice things like dodge and counters with bombs. And for gunners, ammo and coating are not consumed. I think that's a real understatement. There's nothing like a gunner catching all that fish.
Yeah.
Making all those arrows and then wasting them on a Great Macau.
Yeah. Too much fishing involved.
So here, you take out the fishing and you give them straight unlimited ammo to test on, which would be great for somebody like me who I got a little bit of a taste at PAX West with the light bow gun and I absolutely loved it. And you can see in the video that we did, well, I recorded the video and then we both talked over it.
Yeah. I just sat there. I made really bad jokes.
You saw that I went through a lot of the ammo and openly said, I don't know what this ammo does.
Yeah.
So this will be a great place for me, especially because I do want to use the light bow gun even more. There are damage numbers shown, but as of now, we don't exactly know how they work, whether or not the posts and the barrels have certain defenses or if they show the weapons, bench, and values, etc. So there are still some things about the training arena we don't know, but for the most part, it is something that I think a lot of longtime hunters are going to accept with open arms.
It's one of those things that you can point to and clearly say the developers heard what the community wanted, even like smaller parts of the community, and acknowledged it, which is pretty cool because I feel like you can't say that a lot of times with games.
Any game that shows damage numbers needs some sort of training dummy or something like this. And the two games I'll bring up over and over again because I play them to death are Final Fantasy 14, which they have training dummies everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is really great to practice your rotations.
Right.
Destiny, which doesn't have like a shooting range or anything like that.
Nope.
But that is something that community has been asking for since day one.
Just get out there
and
shoot something.
Bungie has not listened, I guess, at this point. Another thing here in Astera is a new in-game bestiary. Is that supposed to be library, but instead
bestiary.
Of bestiary?
Bestiary is like a compendium of the creatures.
A solarium of creature books.
Solarium.
Detailing
two
the
solariums.
Detailing the monsters you'll reach throughout the game to gather more information. You do things like take mark of tracks or footprints and collect points out in the field beyond providing ecological data surrounding each monster. They also provide things like weak points and item drops. For a normal player wanting those things to get immersed in Monster Hunter easier, this is a really cool addition. One thing it also shows you are the monster's main habitats. You will see that there is a fact of 6 slots for potential habitats, making full 6 maps in total extremely likely. People will say those slots can be used for specific or boss-specific arena maps, but really, why would they waste an entire slot menu for a map for only 2 to 3 monsters to ever use? That's an opinion there, but I do agree with that.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, we saw this and we talked about this originally for Acera. We've seen three maps, but in that bestiary solarium place,
yeah,
there's spots for six, which seems, I don't know, six seems kind of low.
Yeah, it definitely does.
But I guess I'm in no position to complain. Everything looks great. So if it's six, it's six, fine. I can't say, though, when I'm hunting a monster, the map really has, and maybe I'm in the minority, the map has a big impact on me.
Yeah.
It's just, I would rather have more monsters. If I had a choice between, and no one's making me make this choice, but if I had a choice between more monsters or more maps, I'm going to always take more monsters.
Yeah.
And absolutely. If these maps are truly bigger than anything we've seen before, which it seems like it, then while six may seem small,
yeah,
I think it's still fine.
There is also the possibility for variation, like they've done in previous Monster Hunter games, where you have a daytime version of a map and then a nighttime version of the map.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And maybe there's different genealogy of I don't know if that's the right term, of monsters in the nighttime map than there in the daytime version, which would be cool.
Didn't they show rain in one of the maps? Did I dream this?
I thought that they said there would be, like, active weather.
Yeah.
Maybe we both dreamt it
in the same dream.
Yeah.
We were both fishing originally.
Yeah.
For arrows.
Yes, of course. What else would we be fishing for?
Joke's never going to get old. Related to the bestiary is a new observation deck where you'll see the results from your previous quest. That is to say, if you captured an Anjanath, by the time you get home, you'll see an Anjanath sleeping in the observation area being researched by the commissioner's scholars. Think of, I like this comparison, think of Patapon, where every mission your tribe would hold a festival presenting the spoils of that mission for you.
That's pretty great.
Patapon was a great game.
Listen, you drop Patapon in a comparison, I'm 100,000% on board. That's a very good, it's a good comparison. You could have used anything, really, but because you used Patapon, I'm in.
That's the real.
I really like that idea, though, because it's always kind of felt like lackluster when you finish this hunt and you finish decimating this monstrous beast or capturing this thing and bringing all these parts back, and everyone's like, oh, cool, dude, thanks. What's your next one?
Weapons and armor crafting have been reworked somewhat. For one, you are now able to view various weapon trees in the game, meaning you can visibly see how one weapon's upgrades will lead to another. Another feature is the ability to roll back upgrades. We talked about this, I think, last week or the week before.
Yes.
And you'll get the resources that you spent back. We're still unsure if that's all the resources or some of the resources.
How incredible would that be?
It would be great. Oof. I'd be okay with most of the resources.
Yeah.
Another thing is that now when you actually equip things to go out in the field, weapons and armors are in different boxes, so no longer do you have to scroll through your equipment box looking for that helmet or those leggings, because you can just select your legs and choose from your leg-only armor.
Oh,
this is Destiny 101. Fantastic. Actually, I'm sure 100 games have figured this out before Destiny. But
absolutely.
Another new addition to armors are series skills that only activate if you have enough of a specific monster set. So we talked about this before, but we didn't mention that it was called something, which is series skills. You play Generations or XX, you'll recognize it is similar to how Deviant skills worked, although a lot less obnoxious. The boosts themselves, from what we've seen, are rather small. They only seem to be small boosts to encourage people to wear both mixed sets and full sets.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
I guess I never got to the Deviant stuff in Generations.
Yeah, same.
I'll probably get there in XX, because I've been enjoying that game a lot more.
It's pretty good.
There's something
despite
about...
Despite the fact that I don't understand a word of it.
It's like playing Monster Hunter on the TV is quite enjoyable.
Yeah, it's really great.
Charms can now be upgraded and crafted. We already know about that. And that's pretty much a quick recap of Asteria. I think for the most part we covered everything, but I know...
the first time, and then you lost it. Asteria.
Asteria, oh yeah, yeah. There it is. My fault. I got a little carried away.
That's a pretty good like guide on Asteria so far, though. I hope that we hear more about it at maybe like the PlayStation Experience or something. I'd like to learn about that garden area.
Oh yeah, there are before PlayStation Experience, those there are the three Japanese dates.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up.
There was also, just before we pass off or move on from the bestiary, there was something that I saw on the Monster Hunter subreddit that somebody pointed out that I actually had kind of noticed before, but didn't really draw the... I didn't think it was, like, really something to draw a connection to. I thought it was just, like, design choices, but they showed a picture of Puke Puke.
Tungalos. Excuse me. I don't know who this Puke Puke thing is.
And they showed a picture of Paulumu, and the ends of their wings are similar in that they're, like, fat discs on each, like, almost like fingernails, like, big oval fingernails on each... on the end of their wings, and they said these are very clearly designed the same. They look the same, which is very true. If you look at it, it's hard to say there's not some kind of connection.
But
here,
isn't that like saying, "Hey, Rathalan and Rathalos, they're pretty the same."
Good old Rathalan and Rathalos. So the point was maybe there's some kind of genealogy that's interconnected, or maybe those two creatures are evolved from one another in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
Or maybe there will be, you know, connections that you can draw. But the reason that I bring it up is because somebody said that maybe it would be cool if they showed, like, an evolutionary tree in the bestiary or in research and things like that, where you can see what monsters evolved from other monsters or things like that. I think that would be very, very cool to see.
Pokemon evolution tree?
Heck yeah.
Or Digimon. I would say Digimon has an even more complicated split.
Or just hot take, just real life also.
No, I'm not interested in that.
Okay.
If you're not comparing, it's Pokemon, Digimon, Final Fantasy, Destiny. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, fair enough.
What is this real life? Let's take a break from recap. There's, well, you kind of broke the recap with your...
Hey, I'm here to...
So-and-so evolutionary talk.
I'm here to ruin it.
But there were some Monster Hunter blind box toys that we talked about an episode ago, but there are more Monster Hunter toys coming. I just wanted to bring this up. I'm an avid toy collector.
I didn't know about these, and now I'm excited.
I don't know how to say this website. Ami-Ami? Ami-Ami?
Ami-Ami?
A-M-I-A-M-I.com. That's where
Ami-Ami,
the original Monster Hunter blind box toys were. They also have pre-orders for a plush version of Nergigante. Nergigante.
There it is. Tungalos.
No, not Tungalos. Oh, what's his face?
Anjanath. Angie. Those look really sweet.
Yeah, they look really cool. They are 2,160 yen. I don't know what that converts to. What, 20 bucks?
Something like that,
$18?
Yeah. $18? Something. What, 20, 25?
So those are up for pre-order. If you're interested in plush versions of
those.
They
look... Sorry.
Yeah, they look great.
They look very cool. They're like little kind of chibi.
Yeah, they're more chibi, not as realistic as the plastic toys we talked about.
Right. Look at the horns on that guy.
Look at the horns. The other thing I want to talk about is...
What?
Do you, Micah?
I had no idea.
Do you like pop figures?
This was a thing. You guys can't see it, but I'm looking at the tab that SBJ just opened, internally freaking out right now.
What is your, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you love pop figures, 10 being you hate them, where's the temperature there?
10, I hate them.
No, 1 was hate them, 10 was love them.
Oh, 1, I hate them.
Oh, okay.
I have a love-hate relationship with pop figures. I'm not a huge, like...
I think a lot of people do.
I'm not a huge pop figure person. There are some people who are like, gotta get all the rares, gotta get all the exclusives, gotta whatever.
Gotta just get every single pop figure.
I have maybe like 10 of them, but...
What 10
ones,
you got?
They're all from specific franchises that I really like, and it's not even all of them from those franchises. I have a couple Game of Thrones ones.
Game of Thrones, okay.
I have Mega Man and Proto Man from Mega Man.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Oh, Mega Man from Mega Man, eh?
I have Mega Man from Game of Thrones.
Oh, I see. That was a weird crossover.
I've got a couple Elder Scrolls ones. I have some WWE wrestling pop figures.
Wrestlers?
Yeah.
In your
I
arsenal?
Really only have New Day.
Okay.
Much as-
How many pop... Okay, so like I said earlier, I have I'm a collector of toys.
Yeah.
I have a lot of Pokemon plushes here. I have some Final Fantasy stuff. I have some Simpsons stuff, some Digimon stuff, some Destiny stuff. There's way more in boxes in my basement because I just don't have places yeah. for them.
Listen, if it's Amiibos, I'm all in.
I don't have many Amiibos.
It's probably for the best.
I was one of those dudes that would go to like vinyl only toy shops.
Yeah.
That, you know, you walk in, they have
Gunnies and
they have like $80 vinyl rabbits.
Yep.
And you're Kozik. Just thinking, how do these people stay in business?
Yeah.
Who's buying these? Well,
people are buying them.
I was definitely buying them.
I was buying them too. I used to love those. We used to get, here's a little fun, stupid aside. I went to art college, which is, if you're looking to waste the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time, that's the way to do it. But right down the street from the art college was a shop that sold those things. So me and my buddies every now and then would go over and splurge and get like a blank Dunny. And then we'd sit in our studio. Yes. No, actually Moda 3.
Oh, Moda 3.
Shout out to Moda 3.
Are they still?
I think they're still there. Yeah. Okay. There was a skate shop that sold some of these things because that was kind of a crossover, I guess.
Yeah, that was a weird crossover.
But we would get the blank ones and we'd make our own and then show them off. And it was cool. It was a waste of money. Just like college.
Pop figures. There are Monster Hunter ones now. Well, two. And I think it's funny because I saw this originally on Twitter and then, of course, anything Monster Hunter related on the Monster Hunter subreddit. And there's a lot of hatred for these pop figures. Understandably, because I think there is a lot of hatred for pop figures overall.
Yeah.
I wanted to address that. But in this instance, if you haven't seen, these are Marvel vs. Capcom in infinite pop figures. The Monster Hunter figure comes in a two-pack, and the other figure that's paired with it is the Black Panther.
I'm less interested.
So there are two versions. There is a normal version, which is the female hunter in Rathalos gear with a normal Black Panther. I guess his outfit's purple, not black.
I don't know enough about comics, so I can't make any claims here. I think so. I think you're right. Maybe it's like a super version. It's got a lot more on it than I feel like Black Panther had on his costume.
And then there's a two-pack of Black Panther and the Hunter. The Hunter is in the same exact gear, except it's blue.
Color variation.
Blue instead of red. I'm sure there's a specific term for that in the Monster Hunter world. I'm unaware of that.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. But yes, there is. And it seems to be an exclusive of some sort.
I think you can only get it at New York Comic Con. At Best Buy, sorry.
New York Best Buy.
You can
Best
only
Buy
get it
Comic Con.
The Best Buy Comic Con, you can only get it. You can only get it at Best Buy. And then Black Panther is all white, which I don't know if that's a actual real variation in the comics or something. I'm not 100% sure. But
palette swaps.
I own a couple pop figures. I own the New Day pop figures from WWE.
Yeah.
And then I own a Destiny pop figure. And I think that's it, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I thought you had more, but...
I also hate pop figures.
It's a really easy thing to hate.
Well, the reason I hate it is because they're just not well-designed toys. It's a very cheap plastic.
Yeah.
They almost feel like the new Beanie Baby, except I would argue that Beanie Babies are better they were made better. They were actually Beanie Babies were pretty high quality compared to knockoff toys. And in this instance, it feels like the pop figures are the knockoff toys compared to like Dunnies or like Labbits or...
I would argue that GameStop's Dorbs would be the knockoff to pop
what
figures.
What is a Dorb?
Oh, it was GameStop's their response to pop figures. They saw the pop figure craze and they went, oh, you know what? I bet we could make something that's pretty much just a ripoff of that and still make money on it. And I'm sure that they probably do. But it's less about the design of pop figures for me and why I hate them. I think it's okay. I kind of like the concept of, like, it has a loose design. The head is kind of rectangular and big. The eyes are giant circles without many features. There's just a nose, pretty much. There's never really a mouth. And then the body is tiny. and you have to work around those restrictions for each one. And I kind of like that idea of, like, when you have 10 of them on your shelf, well, they're all different characters from different franchises, and none of them are really actually related to each other, it all still kind of looks cohesive. So that, to me, is kind of satisfying.
Like amiibos, almost.
It's more that my frustration with it more is that they just don't know when to stop. They just keep going.
Really?
Everything.
Okay. So that's like...
They have Golden Girls. They have... which, don't get me wrong, I'd love to own the Golden Girls set.
But that's the thing. Let me stop you. There's a lot of things I really love.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find a way to buy that. And what I mean is, like, wrestling.
Yeah.
If you're a wrestling fan, you can go to a wrestling show, which costs you like $80.
Yeah.
Probably not even a good seat. Or your other real option is to buy a shirt.
Yes. Or you could buy, like, you know, the action figures, but I don't have space for that anymore.
I think that is something I don't consider, like, going to Target and buying a wrestling action figure. But I guess people do that, or, like, a fake wrestling belt.
Yeah.
Is something. But really, like, the main thing you can get to support your love of wrestling is a t-shirt.
Right.
WWE puts out 30 different t-shirts a week.
Yeah.
And if there's anything I don't need, it's more shirts.
I agree with that.
And I'm always wearing a hoodie, so whatever design I have under the shirt is never seen to begin with.
Now, what if they put out 30 hoodies a week? Would that be a problem for you?
I would love to buy more hoodies, except I'm very picky about hoodies.
Yeah.
So it's hard to find a very fitted hoodie. So when they were like, hey, here are pop figures for some of the wrestlers you like, that was easy to be like, oh, cool. I guess I'll get these because I don't want the slam and cram Target action figures. Yeah. And like, these are, they also fill this void of you can put them on your desk at work and they don't seem that out of place.
I agree. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And I like that. But where I get frustrated is that it just doesn't ever seem to stop. It's just always when you see it in person,
but
it's
that's
a little
what's
bit
cool, because like if you like Golden Girls, you can buy the Golden Girls Blu-rays,
yeah,
DVDs, VHSs,
and then the Funko Pops,
and that's so you have a way now to buy more of your love for Golden Girls.
I don't want to have more reasons to spend money though. a good example is there's a local anime / gaming store called Lost World of Wonders that has probably just about, aside from the ones that are like hundreds of dollars, every pop figure that you could possibly imagine. And it's literally three to five racks that are probably like 10 to 15 feet long. And each side and the end caps are just packed with them. I've never seen that much of one type of product. And that varied of that product.
What's the,
before Funko Pop?
What's the last convention you've been to?
Gen Con. Was it? No. Yes, Gen Con.
And there were booths of pop figures.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Absolutely.
And Gen Con's not even like a comic convention.
Yeah.
Like I went to the last 3 years, I went to C2E2, which is the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. It's every other booth is just dedicated to pop figures. And they all have different sales of like buy two, get one, or 2 for $10, or 3 for $20.
Yeah.
Or,
it's nuts.
Or we have the rare Cinderella missing the gold slipper and it's $120.
The color swap or the, you know.
I think that might, I don't know. I do like the price.
That was what I was going to say next is
like $15 to have something that would have normally never existed.
Right. Me as a fan of Twin Peaks, it's really easy to go on Amazon and say, oh, this Twin Peaks Funko Pop, which is something that, like, in my room of, you know, collections of things that I have, I'm not representing Twin Peaks at all. It's easy for me to go on Amazon and spend $9 with Prime shipping or whatever to get a Twin Peaks Funko Pop and have that and call it a day. And it's cool. It's a cool little thing. it's a little bit more like modernized, I feel like, other than like, I don't know, putting up a poster or something. I don't know. It's a good price point. However, getting back to the
Monster Hunter ones,
to the task at hand here, I don't know what these prices are going to be for these two packs.
Usually a two pack is 25.
I don't know that I can justify
$50,
$25, even just $25 for one of them to get a Funko Pop that I want and one that I don't care about.
That Black Panther, there's going to be a lot of Black Panthers in the dump.
Now, I'm sure that they're, I mean, don't get me wrong, Black Panther's a cool superhero. Personally, just don't, I don't read comics. I'm not a, like a huge comic fan. Most of what I know of Marvel is from either Marvel versus Capcom or from Marvel movies. And even those I don't keep up on. I personally don't care. I'm sure that there are people that do, but those people probably also don't care about Monster Hunter then. It seems like a weird pairing, I guess.
I bet the Monster Hunter one is worth more than the Black Panther one.
Yeah, maybe. Probably.
I would argue that there are more dedicated, hardcore Monster Hunter fans than there are dedicated, hardcore Black Panther fans. Because I feel like if you like Black Panther, I bet there are a dozen other superheroes you like just as much.
I can't say that in confidence, but maybe. I do have friends that are very into Black Panther, but I personally, I don't care about comics that much, so. But $50, though, like, to get basically two Funko Pops that I don't care about and then a color variation of the same one?
I mean, if I was to get any, like, the blue Rathalos Gear Hunter, and like I said, the gear is identical besides the color.
Yeah.
So it's not even like the different gear set she has in the game. Because she has, we talked about this last week, she had blue, more revealing gear as her alternative costume.
Yeah.
And this isn't the same.
What was the primary costume?
The primary costume is the Rathalos.
Yeah. And then the Kieran is the alternate.
Yes. Yeah. And this is not Kieran gear.
Right.
The blue doesn't really do anything for me because it doesn't actually represent, and maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe there is.
That does exist. I don't remember where it's from, but I remember back in the day there were Monster Hunter action figures. It was HS Figuarts. I don't know how you pronounce it. Japanese. Actually, it might have been Revoltech. It was just like really bendable, articulate action figures that you could pose that were very cool, and they had Rathalos gear. And there was a blue Rathalos and a red Rathalos, like, alternate. So that's been around for a while. I guess I don't really know either what the... I'm sure someone will correct us on that.
Yeah. I could see just if the red one was on eBay for 15 or so bucks, I'd get it.
Yeah, probably the same. I don't need some Black Panther Funko Pops just chilling in my closet until I can find somebody that wants them.
Going back to the Reddit post here, now that we've sidetracked with Toy Talk, I think we've done a pretty good job at talking about all the monsters. Zora, Kadachi, Tungalos, Kula, La Kool-Aid,
and the
Tis Yaku.
Tis Yaku-Aid.
Palamu.
This is the
Legiana.
Mispronunciation section of the podcast. What was the last one?
Legiana.
Hey, you got that one right.
We know that Zora, the thing I want to just bring up, and we probably don't have to spend a lot of time on it, it's just interesting. We know Zora is the Elder Dragon, it's the giant thing that came from the volcano, or looks like a volcano.
Yeah.
Nira Gigante, the flagship monster, we learned recently that it is indeed an Elder Dragon as well.
Yeah, that was news.
All right, moving on.
Which, I mean, that's cool. That's interesting news.
I guess I don't know exactly. I'd be curious of when you fight this? Or what is the Elder Dragon hierarchy?
Like, you mean how far into the game?
Yeah.
Or?
Also, who is superior at this point then? Is it Zora? Is it Nira Gigante? Who's killing who in this Elder Dragon hierarchy? Maybe they clearly meet at some point because Nira Gigante is on Zora's back.
Yeah, there's that shot of it flying away from its back too.
Whereas prior to this news breaking, I would have just assumed Zora is the threat over Nirugigante. But now that they're both classified as Elder Dragons,
the trailers that we've seen suggested that Nirgigante outlives Zora. I don't know how, obviously, and I don't even know if that's necessarily true. Maybe it just was a very immobile Zora at the moment, but it looked like the Zora had been vanquished, and then Nirgigante flew away from it.
But Gormagala wasn't Elder.
No.
And prior to this, I feel like those monsters were on the same level.
Yeah.
Going back to 3U, what was its name? Brachiops?
Brachidius
was also the flagship for that game.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, this one's better than all you. We're moving it up a peg.
Yeah.
Not that I'm complaining. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah. I agree. I would guess that means that there's more to Nirgigante than they're letting on so far.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more story involvement than it seems like it's had up until this point with trailers and such.
I'm betting everything they've showed is in reality only the first hour of the game.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe the story is only like an hour.
it's good old,
like the Destiny formula. Give them 6 hours of story and then 20 million hours of game.
Let's do a couple questions from our Discord here. Drakey Chan asks, what monster that we haven't seen do you wish was in Monster Hunter World, and why is it Nargacuga?
Well, it's definitely Nargacuga. No, I got Diablo, so that's cool. I think I'd like to see Devil Joe.
Okay.
I definitely would like to see Nargacuga. What about you?
I can never say surprise, spoiler.
Surprise.
I can never say monsters' names, but I want the mountain camel buffalo thing. Dumbledore.
Gammoth?
No.
Oh.
Dumbaros.
Yeah, yeah. Damabros? I don't know. You got me.
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore. Yeah. Dumbledore.
It's like a giant mountain with a tail.
Yeah.
And it's a goat.
Yeah.
Or a buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has four legs.
Just keep naming animals.
Like a cow.
Yeah.
I want to see that thing.
That would be cool. That would be very cool. Wildspire Waste, do you think? Maybe a new location that they haven't shown yet?
If I remember 3U correctly, Dumbledore and Devil Joe were in the same map.
Yeah.
And it was like the ancient forest, except not as foresty, but green.
Because when it's a cow and a goat, it's got to have green stuff to eat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Moss, we would assume.
Right.
It licks the moss. Monster Hunter lore.
Any of this work. I'd probably also like to see Zenogre, which I feel like Zenogre and Brachidios and stuff like that, which are like people are expecting those, and including Nargacuga, like they're expecting them, and I feel like it would be cool to see them, but I feel like it's getting less and less likely. But we have apparently three maps we haven't seen, so who knows?
Speaking of maps, Megaleg asks, what is your favorite map?
Probably in general?
I think in general.
Well, if we're talking in general, I really like Misty Peaks as like just a basic map.
I'm not the biggest fan of Misty Peaks. I like Deserted Island.
That's a good one.
3U.
That's a good map.
For me, it was like the first map I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
So it holds a place in my heart.
What specific about you like the way it looks, or what you hunt there?
I think it was like what I hunted there.
Yeah.
And I remember the Rathalan nest, the cave area leading to that, the like open shallow water area that led into that waterfall area.
Yeah.
Laggy is where you fought there. Zingoro. Zingoro was there.
Zinogre.
Zinogre.
Yeah.
Was there. That dumb trumpet bird.
Oh, Tigrex. Tigrex should be in World. Sorry. I'm thinking of, as we're thinking about this.
Yeah, that map just stands out to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Misty Peaks just for kind of for the same reasons. Like, I really like the music for Misty Peaks. I like the...
Kuropeko, that's the trumpet bird.
Kuropeko, yep. I like when you encounter your first, like, nighttime hunt there. I don't know. It looks really nice. It looks like a nice, beautiful area. And then you just get destructive in it with whatever it is vacation. That you're fighting.
Vacation hotspot.
Yeah.
There's a Groupon for it, I hear.
There was a hut that you could go stay in, but it was clearly destroyed. Probably by Mitsutsune.
Not getting a lot of...
Suds Dragon.
Not getting a lot of Airbnb traffic, I'll tell you that.
Not many great reviews on TripAdvisor. For world maps, though, man, that Coral Highlands looks so great.
Yeah, Coral Highlands does look really good.
Real hard to compete with at the moment.
Mythical Unreal says, if Monster Hunter and Cooking Mama had a collaboration, what would you make? I.e., a monster that the meat would come from what type of dish?
Maybe some kind of, well, let's think.
Well, I'm gonna.
There's steaks.
I'm gonna bring up
fish.
A monster I just mentioned.
Okay.
Thanksgiving right around the corner.
Okay.
And nothing would be more satisfying than your dinner to sing to you.
Yeah.
So you roast up a nice Kuropeko.
I like where this is going.
And as you're carving into it.
Yeah.
You get a little music.
That's
kind of a grim thought. A little jam.
That as you're carving your Thanksgiving bird, it's
singing.
Letting out like a death song.
No one said it was death. It was a pleasant... This is a Cooking Mama collaboration game.
Yeah.
It has to be PG.
Yeah.
So it's singing a very delightful tune.
Okay. Still seems a little grim, but I like it. I'm into it.
Finally, we'll do one more question here. Butts from our Discord says, what is your favorite new monster in World?
What do you got?
I like my boy Tungalos, but I feel like that's an obvious answer. I'm really liking Kodachi.
Yeah?
I like the way
Toby,
it moves.
Toby Kodachi's cool.
I like the way it moves. I like the way it looks.
Yeah.
I like the color palette. So yeah, that's going to be my choice right there.
I really like it too.
Did we pick the same one?
No.
Okay.
I like it a lot, but I feel like I haven't seen enough of it.
Okay.
Like a full hunt or anything, like, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to say, like, confidently, that's the one. That's my new favorite.
Yeah.
Palumu, however.
Okay.
I do really like. I like the physics for Palumu. I like that it uses its balloon face to, like, generate momentum and swing at you.
Sure.
It's a cool, unique looking, new feeling monster.
I feel you.
I feel like I haven't seen anything else like it, and I like that a lot.
It's very unique. Very unique.
You could say it's maybe that it's charming. You could maybe use the word charming to describe it.
You know, if I was to pick a word, it would be charming.
That was what I was going to say, actually.
Yeah. What a...
Charming is a good... You know what else I would maybe say is charming would be?
Yeah, well, yeah. Give it to me. I'm all ears.
Maybe it's charming.
Ah, I'm familiar with this word. Well, I think we can't charm you anymore.
That's about it.
So we'll wrap up this episode.
I think if we've charmed you, it's a miracle.
We're all out of charm at this point. So thank you guys for the questions. We'll maybe we'll repeat the segment in the future.
Yeah,
kind of mixes it up.
Yeah, it was fun.
I don't want to fall into a trap of, you know, just reading or reciting content that exists.
Yeah, I agree.
But that was a very excellent Reddit post. That again, props to. I don't have it up anymore. TGT.
Nope.
K.
Maybe.
Here it is. TLGTW It's titled Everything from TGS, I Hope. So if you're looking for that full recap, there it is. Or just put this on repeat, because clearly...
Just read it all out. It's great, though, that I love when you get a comprehensive guide like that that lists everything and it gives you links to the videos and links to, you know...
Yeah, because putting something together like that, you just... I mean, it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes
probably
time.
Probably, so. Like, 5 minutes, I would guess. No, I'm kidding. Clearly way longer than 5 minutes.
But we're gonna wrap it up, do some Twitter here. If you want to follow Micah on Twitter, it is at MicahTheBrave.
And if, correct.
You want to follow myself on Twitter, it is at DraggingALake. And if you want to stay up to date with the podcast, and I tweet Monster Hunter News as often as I can, that is at CarvePodcast on Twitter. And I think that'll wrap up our show. Again, we're going to be streaming pretty much every Thursday night on Twitch, twitch.tv/pkmncast, starting at 8 p.m. Central Time, Monster Hunter Double Cross. I would appreciate if you guys show up, hang out, do some hunts. You know, not do some hunts, but...
Just hang.
Just hang. Just chill. We have a good time.
Yeah, it's always fun.
It's always fun. It's always people there. And I know we're not playing Generations or stuff, but at least last week when we streamed it, there were some people in chat that were still playing Generations, so they actually got together and did a little hunt of their own as we were playing Double Cross, so that was really cool to see.
Yeah.
Very cool to see, but we will let you guys go, because there's plenty of monsters to hunt. So like we say, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on carving those monsters.
The Carve is hosted and produced by me, Steve Black Jr. Logo and artwork for The Carve was created by Micah, the co-host of this show. Theme music by Nicholas Burgess. If you enjoy The Carve, consider leaving a review in Apple Podcasts or tell a fellow hunter about us. If you'd like to support The Carve, you can do so at patreon.com/carvepodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you'll gain access to our Discord to bone up with other hunters who listen to the show. Big shoutouts to The Carve's Life Powder supporters, Austin B, Kay, Gavin M, Carly, and Brandon. Thank you all for listening.